This is Oklahoma Perspective. Like everything else in our budget, the cost of insurance has increased quite a bit. Glenn Mulready is the Oklahoma Insurance Commissioner, and he talks to KRMG's Russell Mills about why auto and home insurance keep going up.
First off, let's just cut to the chase on the news release that you guys put out today. This was a company that was doing a home warranty business that was apparently not actually supposed to be doing business in the state of Oklahoma. And your agency issued a cease and desist order against this company. It's called First Premier Home Warranty Corp. First off, what is that? What were these people doing? And then secondly, why did they have to be told to cease and desist?
Yeah. So, home warranty companies, there's a number of them out there, often sold, with the sale of a home. So I'm buying a home, your first home or otherwise, and you can purchase a home warranty so that if the thinking there is, if I buy the home and in spite of inspections and all of that, suddenly the dishwasher goes out or something else goes out, that would be covered under that home warranty. So that's the purpose they serve. In Oklahoma, they are required to be licensed. They are insurance companies. They're providing a warranty on that home. And that's typically what that is, HVAC and garbage disposals and dishwashers, that sort of
sewer
thing.
Lines? Is that one of them? Because sewer lines, like your sewer line between you and the curb. I see we get pinged all the time with people wanting to insure that or offer a warranty.
Yeah, that is a different story though, because it's outside the home. Yeah. This is going to be inside the home.
Gotcha.
And like I said, they're often, purchased at the purchase or at the closing of a home.
Okay.
I think it's just sort of that first maybe year or two typically of you're laying out a lot of cash and some things and not being caught off guard with something. So it's just an extra protection there. So like I said, they're required to be licensed in Oklahoma, and we received in a complaint. I mean, that's typically how sometimes we find out about these unlicensed companies. Is by receiving a complaint about a company, and we look it up and think, wait, we don't have a company licensed in our state doing that type of business, and investigated, and that's how this came about. And so, yeah, we then will immediately issue a cease and desist, stop selling products immediately. You are not licensed. We then will deal with that from a sort of a fine or discipline or repercussions from that later. But the immediate need is to stop an unlicensed company from doing business in Oklahoma to protect consumers.
Okay, so this is then a civil violation, not a criminal violation. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a more of a regulatory violation, I guess. And do you have any feeling for how long First Premier was operating without?
I don't. That's part of our investigation is. Because typically in these things, in statute, there's a there are limitations or fines on a per violation basis. So part of our more extensive investigation will be to find out how long they've been doing that, how many policies have been sold, what those fines are per policy, and so we do the cease and desist, continue the investigation, get those details. Typically, we then issue a fine and make sure that they then go through the proper process to get licensed.
And one would wonder, well, how did they not know about the fact that they needed a license to do business? I mean, that would concern me if I was their customer. But have they been cooperative, or what has been the response from the company, if any?
Yeah, typically the companies always are cooperative. I mean, it more often than not is a situation where, if I can say that, is an innocent mistake, because laws do differ from state to state. I haven't looked it up, but I'm sure there are some states that don't require home warranty companies to be licensed. So, it's not like an auto insurer or even a homeowner's insurance company where every company is going to require that. But home warranty is just a little bit enough different that it may have been an innocent mistake. But regardless, it's not our responsibility to communicate with every individual company out there that it's their responsibility to know the law and abide by it.
And so were they doing anything other than the fact that they were not properly authorized to be doing business? Were they engaging in anything fraudulent or anything that consumers need to be on the lookout for?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I don't know of anything outside of just operating without a license. But again, our fuller investigation will reveal that, right, if there's more going on. And as we talk to policyholders, communicate with policyholders, we'll find out if there's more going on there. But that'll be part of a bigger investigation.
Gotcha. All right. Very cool. All right. Let's turn the page for a sec, because something I've been itching to talk to you about for a while. And, you know, folks have been pinging me saying, gosh, my auto insurance is insane right now. My homeowner's insurance is up 20%, 25%. I don't think my house is 25% more valuable. What in the heck is going on? And I got to say, it seems to be over the last 2 or 3 years, and I know there's probably going to be somehow, I just know this is all going to come back to COVID and supply chain issues, because everything seems to. But what do you have a feeling for what's going on with the industry? And then we'll talk a little bit more about maybe what consumers can do to try to alleviate some of that issue. But what is going on?
Yeah, so there's a number of things going on. And if you'll pardon the expression, you know, it's sort of the perfect storm as far as that goes. You know, the number one thing, well, let me just say, when it comes to, let's talk homeowners and auto, but increases are happening nationwide. It's not just an Oklahoma thing. It is across the country. You've probably seen in the news lately in California where, you know, they've got all the major carriers pulling out, not going to write new homeowners there, period, because there have been some sort of artificial caps put in place on what their increases can be. So, you know, companies have said, we're not going to write any new homeowners in California because of these caps, and we can't make a profit. So we're seeing a lot happening and large increases. Oklahoma is a little more amplified, I guess, because we are a weather state. We get more than our share of wind and hail, and, you know, convective storms play into that. And secondly, a big component of it, too, is inflation. I can tell you that personally we experienced that, 6 or 8 months ago. We were replacing our own roof. My wife sent me a text one day. I was in Oklahoma City with a picture of a screenshot of a proposal for a new roof, and she asked if that's the check that I'm sending off. And I said, no, that was the proposal from 18 months ago when we got a proposal from a roofer. And that was $20,000, Russell. And I said, no, the new one is $26,000. So in a matter of 18 months, really strictly just to inflation costs, because it was the same roofer, right? Same roof. You know, we saw that kind of increase in both labor and product and materials there, to see that kind of increase. So inflation is not a small factor in both auto and homeowners. And then third is a little bit more in the weeds from an insurance standpoint, but reinsurance is what insurance companies buy. So they're sort of transferring some risk to reinsurance companies. And what happened a year and a half, it may be coming up in 2 years ago here now, but a lot of the capital, a big chunk of capital, left the reinsurance world. And basically it was, you know, it wasn't rocket science. It was global economics, right, where folks with lots of money to invest found they could make more money in other areas without the risk. And so a lot of capital, with that expression, capital is a coward, capital left the reinsurance world. So that drives up the cost for reinsurance to the insurance companies. And so those will be the three, I think, biggest factors that are playing into that. And if I can, I'll jump in and talk about something, I guess, you know, a question to me from you or others might be, well, what are we going to do about that?
Right.
So,
no, that's definitely the follow-up is, okay, well, you know, there's only X amount I can do about the macroeconomics of global finance, which is, you know, nothing. So what do I do? How best to deal? And I'm going to opine that the first thing you do is you start by calling your agent and saying, hey, I need to save some money here and start working with them.
Yeah. And I think that would be the first step to say, you know, am I taking advantage of all the discounts that I can take advantage of? You know, my bundling my home and auto, is there anything I can take advantage of? Most companies now with the auto insurance, they have telematics, you know, either devices or an app on your phone that will, you know, it sort of tracks the way you drive. And some people don't like that, and that's okay. But that could work to your advantage.
If you're a good driver,
measure hard stops and fast accelerations or hard cornering, and that's sort of what they're measuring with that. So that's one thing with auto, but with both auto and home, we have a lot of companies in both auto and homeowners. We have over 100 companies licensed to do business here in Oklahoma. So it's a competitive marketplace. One of our first piece of advice is to shop around. And that takes work. You know, it's not easy to, unfortunately, there's not a place where you can just typically kind of go in and plug in your details to get quotes from 47 companies. But we do have information on our website, which is very general, but it does compare companies and their rates with some typical homes. And it will show you what that home it is. Okay, this is a $250,000 home with this deductible, this location, that sort of thing. So you can generally compare, but, We encourage folks to shop around. It is competitive. And then the other thing that we are doing is, we being the insurance department here, I've told folks that I've tried and I've discovered I can't do anything about the weather. But we can help folks strengthen their homes. So we're running a bill that this year that has come out of the House, 99-2. It's now in the Senate. And it's the title of it is Strengthen Oklahoma Homes Act. And so we're asking the legislature to we're not asking for any money. We're just asking them for permission to use leftover funds, up to 50% of those leftover funds, to issue grants back to homeowners so as they're recovering from a loss or they're replacing their roof, that we can help supplement, if you will, or for them to upgrade to a better class shingle, to class 4 shingles, or to fasteners to their roof. All according to IBHS standards. They're the company in South Carolina, insurance building standards, building home standards. Sorry, messed up. IBHS, and I'm sure you're familiar with them. You see them every couple of years on who knows the Today Show, Good Morning America, where they build a small home and then they crank up these huge fans and blow it away.
Yes,
most people have seen that, but that's who IBHS is, who tests these building products, and they have standards. We've been consulting with them. We will allow through this program only IBHS certified roofers, and then we'll also utilize IBHS evaluators who then will go out and inspect and ensure that it was done to standards, and that will then authorize us. They give us the green light, and we'll release funds directly to the roofer to pay for those upgraded fasteners or shingles or things that they have done for their home. So we think that's one thing that we can do is strengthen Oklahoma homes. And I will readily admit, Russell, that I am not creative, and I totally stole the idea from the state of Alabama, who has had a program going for a few years and has seen some great success with that. But it's a way for us to put money back in Oklahoma's hands. It'll give you a discount on your homeowner's insurance rate, typically about a 25% discount, if just going to those class 4 shingles. Lessens the chance you'll have a loss, so you're not paying out your deductible, which – you know, it's no longer $500 anymore.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
1,500, 2,000, 5,000. Yes.
Yeah, it's substantial now.
You know, I feel like, and I may be making this up in my own head because I'm known to do that, but I feel like it was Florida or somebody, maybe it was Alabama, that mandated some of these IBHS sort of standards and upgraded them. And it really accrues to the benefit of everyone long term. When roofs don't blow off, people don't get killed as often, for one thing. I mean, but they have real problems writing insurance policy, homeowner policies in Florida. It's gotten to the point where people are unable to get insurance, and we're not there here, thankfully.
Right.
We're not there.
Especially on those coastal areas. Extremely difficult situation. I have a brother who lives in Orlando, and every year he gets his homeowner's insurance renewal, he calls me and complains.
Well, that's nice, bro, but I'm not going to be super helpful in Florida. All right, well, this is interesting stuff. So that bill, do you know the bill number on that? Because I would like to.
Yeah, it's House Bill HB 3089. Good news is we've not had much pushback. As I've talked to legislators about it, their very first question to me is, how much do you want? How much money do you want?
Right.
And I literally tell them, look, I don't want any money. I just want permission. give us permission to do this, to issue these grants. We've got a very structured program. We have safeguards in place, utilizing IBHS, and we have a state to model after. Louisiana has a similar program. As we are running this through here, Kentucky's running that through. It's getting a lot of attention. And in fact, next week we'll be at the National Council of Insurance Legislators Conference. I am the liaison for the National Insurance Commissioners Association to that group, so I attend their three meetings a year. But they're running a model act, basically modeled sort of after the bill that we are running here, too, to try to get more states to kind of pick up on that.
So where does the money come from if we're giving people sort of –
It comes through our normal sources of, for us, surplus lines tax and some fees. That's how we fund our agency. We don't have any money appropriated to us from the legislature through the budget process. The insurance department doesn't. We're what they call a non-appropriated agency.
Wow.
And so, you know, we have our budget, and then each year the legislature comes in and sweeps money out of our revolving funds. Last 3 years, that's been $7.8 million.
Wow.
But then there's leftover funds, and that's what we're saying is, like, let's spend up to 50% of that to put back in Oklahoman's hands. I mean, it's almost like a tax rebate, isn't it? I mean, sort of, but so that as they're doing their roof. And then we're going to try to focus, too, on some lower-income households or more storm-prone areas as well to try to strengthen those that tend to be more susceptible or targets of certain weather.
Hmm. All right, so turning back to auto insurance for a sec. I know that over the years, and I don't know if we're still like the worst in the country, but we're among the very worst in the country as far as our insured rate. In other words, we have more uninsured motorists than pretty much anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we've moved the needle a whole lot on that. But my question is, if we had more people insured, would that help lower the rates for everybody? And are we trying to come up with ways, and I've got a related question follow-up, but what are we thinking?
Yeah, a couple of things on that, Russell. But, you know, we always threw around this sort of 25% number, that roughly 25% of cars out on the road were uninsured, one of every four that you see. But the District Attorney's Council, the DAC, probably 7 years ago, or so, established a new program through the legislature to try to impact this. And so if you didn't know, they've got, I forget what the number is now, probably about 75 cameras around the state. And they're taking snapshots of license plates on the road, and they're then bumping that up against a database that we provide. That's really our only role in this, is providing a database from the insurers. And so if you come up as no insurance coverage, you're going to get a letter from the District Attorney's Council talking about their program, inviting you to bring proof of coverage if you do have coverage and there's some kind of mistake here. But through that program, we've been able to pinpoint a lot more what our specific uninsured rate is, right? Because after thousands upon thousands upon thousands of checks against that database, we can now say with confidence that uninsured rate is not 25%. It's close to the 12 or 13%.
Hmm.
Here in Oklahoma. So that's the good news. But we still have 13% uninsured out there on the road. And your point is correct. That is, if everyone could be fully insured and sort of being responsible, that would impact the rate.
Oklahoma Insurance Commissioner Glenn Mulready. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.